Zion Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zion Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Zion Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is January 31st, 2019. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most of us do not realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you haven't already, please, if you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request and or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And you can always find updates of the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this on our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. It's not free, and it keeps us on the air. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Bucharest, Romania, Hamilton, Canada, Italia, Turkey, Espoo, Finland, and, of course, cities in good old United States such as Fresno, California, Memphis, Tennessee, Honolulu, Hawaii, and Louisville, Kentucky. And these are just to name a few, of course. Wichita, Kansas, again this week, still remains the largest group of listeners to our programs, and that's at least, that's when they go to podcast later on tonight. I cannot tell how many people listen to us live, but when they go to podcast, I can get a rough estimate. But it's pretty hard to tell because our program is picked up by at least, I think at my last count, about eight or so podcast, podcasters or whatever. And it's even on Spotify, and so we're really getting out there, Spotify, YouTube, or iTunes, way out there. Anyway, yeah, we are kind of way out there if you compare us to the mainstream. Anyway, follow us and share us at Twitter at Pastor Dan, that's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch 77. Now prayer, we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray our guest tonight gives the people the right word, Father. Guide his speech. Give the people ears and wish to see the truth. Lift the veil from their hearts and from their minds, Father, so that they can understand. Let them see through the veil. So please, Father, in your son Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, I've been saying it, and I really haven't seen this out there very many places, but I tracked it down to a resource. President Trump did hear from Netanyahu of Israel, who warned him that he was really going to start fighting back and a war was going to happen between with Hezbollah, and that is in Syria. And so by default, also the Iranians. So he wanted the troops to get out of the way. And that's why President Trump has made such a push to get out of Syria. Anyway, we're watching attacks going back and forth between Iran and Syria and Israel, even hitting Damascus. Only a matter of time till, wait a minute. I'm not going to tell you. Let's bring on Steve Henderson. He served in the last 30 years as a pastor, evangelist, and equipper in the ministry. Folks, if you've listened to this program for any period of time, you know he's been on a lot. He hasn't been lately. We intend to have him on at least once a month going forward. In the last several years, Steve has been called into the arena of teaching prophecy. His ministry The Sure Word of Prophecy has a mission to help believers to understand Bible prophecy and to prepare them for the return of Yeshua. That's what we should be doing. Provide a good presentation to unbelievers that there's indeed one who knows the end from the beginning. And I even know a few people that are saved that just don't realize that the end has been predicted from the beginning. In his vision to share the prophetic words of the Bible with scoffers, agnostics, and atheists, providing them with the evidence they need to turn them into a saving faith in Yeshua, our Messiah, and the Messiah of the world. Check out his website at surewordprophecy.org, surewordprophecy.org. Well, welcome, Stephen. I understand you're going to talk about the Ram, the Bam, and the Slam. What a name.
Hey, Pastor Dan, it's such a joy to hear from you, man. It's been a while, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Did you get rid of your parka in the last couple of days, or you still got it on?
What'd you say? Okay, you lost me. What'd you say?
Your parka. Do you still have your parka on up there?
My parka. Yeah, I was wondering. Well, it got a little warmer today, but it's been cold, you know. I've been going through a lot of wood. But, you know, I do have a furnace, but I use wood when it gets below, like, 28 degrees because wood heats everything. You know, it heats the floor, it heats the walls, and, you know, it in turn puts out other kind of heat. So you can walk across the floors, and the floors are warm, and it even heats your body. It's a better kind of heat. But I've been really going through some wood, and in fact, I'm getting short, and my chainsaw's broke, and I just asked my son today, I said, hey, your chainsaw working? And he said, no, Dad, I got to put a rope on it, because he's getting low on wood. So we can see what's going to have to be rectified on the first day of the week this you know.
Well, brother, I'm having a little hard time hearing you. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, that's a little better, yes.
Okay. All right, I kind of said that's my fault. I turned my head away from the microphone, and I have it turned down a little bit because I had my wife on in a program with me earlier, and so I turned the mic down just a little bit then, but I'm okay now. Anyway, okay.
Let me get on with the Ram, the Bam, and the Slam. And I think there's... Sometimes you try to find a creative way to illustrate a story and then hit him right between the eyes of Bible prophecy, straightforward Bible prophecy, kind of gets the word across, kind of a parabolic thing. But I entitled this The Ram, the Bam, and the Slam. Once upon a time, there was a ram who began to take a stand, and he got very aggressive in three different directions, and it wanted to take over territory and claim it as his own. And to the west he goes, bam, and to the north, bam, and to the southern regions, bam. And as fate would have it, all of this bamming by the ram draws with it the attention of a very angry goat. The hero has come into fight who has one goal in mind. This news travels across the earth, and this goat is mad beyond words. Yes, this goat is coming from the other side of the world, from the west. As this ram is in a bam mode, this goat is coming from the air with an intention to take it on the bully ram who goes bam. But there's something on the prophet that tells us here. The focus shifts to this great horn on the goat's forehead. Later on, we find out this great horn is a great nation. It's leading the way. He appears to be a powerhouse that comes down and confronts the ram with great rage. And then comes the slam on the ram who went bam all over the Middle East. The goat takes a hold of the ram and slam. Pow! Ouch! Wow! Ugh! Whoever this goat is, it was superior in its war tactics and broke the horns back and broke the horns from the ram, leaving it laying on the ground whipped by this mighty goat. But that's not the end of it. After the goat gives a slam to the ram who did the bam, then all of this attention goes to this great horn who gave the slam to the ram who did bam. The great horn celebrates its victory because it slammed the ram to nothing. Everyone was at an awe and even appeared to even have gained more respect, and then poof, the great horn breaks, and in its place, four significant horns come up in its place. The breaking of this great horn or great nation affects the whole earth, even to the four winds. And out of that, four horns come out of the great broken horn, and they are assigned the task that brings peace and security to this worldwide commotion. And out of one of the four horns or beasts comes a little horn who steps up on the world scene, who claims he has come down from above to implement a plan for survival. The world gets sucked up believing this guy, who even makes a blasphemous claim that he is God. This fake God imposter gets the world to transgress against the supreme true lawgiver, and through the transgressions, it brings down desolations and the wrath from the Almighty. At the end of the story, this little horn fights the one true God and is broken to nothing by Jehovah's own hand. What do you think of that one, Pastor Dan?
I have to listen to it again. It sounded really good. I do know what you're talking about, though. Amen. But yeah, amen. I wasn't expecting that.
Well, sometimes anyway. I'm a little abstract, and I think that there's some ways that you can convey prophecy and a little story that kind of gets a point across. And then we go and review the passages, and then and say, "Oh, I see where that's coming. I see where you're coming from now."
Well, but amen. People just, you know, and you're right. People tend to fall off. Sometimes I read the word and I go, "Okay, this is just so clear to me," and then I'll read it, you know, maybe on the radio or something, and I go, "They're not paying attention. You know, they just don't get it. They work." In the kind of thing that you did, that makes it easier for them. I don't know why our brains are geared that way, but they just really are. Back to you.
Yeah. Well, sometimes we just need a little nudge or a little push, you know, and that's what we are to encourage one another, more so as we see the day approaching. And Pastor Dan, I believe we're staring right in the face of the fulfilling this every detail of Daniel 8 chapter. And I'm going to bring out all sorts of reasons why this is not a matter of if, but when. And, you know, because Daniel is a book that Yeshua pointed to, and he tied it into the gospel going to the ends of the earth and talking about the end. And then he said, "When you therefore see that spoken of by Daniel the prophet." And so when he said that, he also commanded, "Whoever reads, let him understand." So there's something in this book of Daniel we need to understand before the time of the end, and we're to read it and to understand it. That makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I know the book of Daniel, and yes, that is the number one book on Bible prophecy. It has so much in it, and there are many variations over what you're going to be talking about, who the players are. But
yes.
I think one thing that is really extremely entirely clear that it's inevitable that Persia is going to cause the next, I believe that's going to cause the next problem, whether it starts with them and Israel and the United States breaks in or something. I believe that's just right there. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I will give you all kinds of evidence that will complement what you're saying there, brother. You know, this book was written by a prophet of Israel, okay? And so these prophecies or have a connection to Israel. And so when you see Persia and they're pushing westward, especially when you put it all together and find out that they're going to go down there and trample on Jerusalem, then, you know, and that's what they're working toward right now. They've already, they've actually made a fake temple mount and did circus exercises to seize it and to overtake it. And I don't know, this stuff is so clear. But I think that we never hear this in the CBS or NBC News or, you know, the regular Fox News or anything like that. So if we don't know the prophecy real well and we don't know what we're looking for, then we're not going to look for it. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense.
And so, you know, 30 years ago, brother, I said to a couple of friends, one I contact and talk with about every week or so, he still remembers what I said long ago. I said, "When you see Iran and Iraq in the news, you better start paying attention." And, you know, from there, I've been watching this stuff develop. And, you know, if I'm wrong in my understanding, then eventually after 30 years, this thing would fade. But it's getting larger and larger before my very eyes, brother. And I feel the need to share this with everyone and let them, if nothing else, challenge us to get back in the book and read it and study it because this is the catalyst of the thing that brings the house down in the world. And it's a war between the ram and the goat, and that's the bottom line.
Yeah, absolutely. we do need to be paying attention. And right now, you know why I you know, of course, I've been paying attention to Iran for ever since I got into Bible prophecy. There's a different, do you agree or disagree with this? There's a different kind of rhetoric coming from them now. I believe they're emboldened. I believe they are more now ready than they've ever been.
Yes. Absolutely, brother. And you're watching this this ram get real aggressive around the world. And it seems some pretty bold things. We're gonna, I'm going to read some of that stuff here pretty quick. I just saw an article. I read it, and I just to bring a base to this thing, Mike Pompeo, which you know, is going around the world. He traveled over to the Middle East. He traveled Jordan, Iraq, and Bahrain, and United Emirates, and Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and Oman for high-level talks with monarchs and ministers over a period of 7 days. And Iran was the focus. And what it says in this article is that he has, during this interview, he says, countering Iran, the threat from the world's largest state sponsor of terror, the Islamic Republic of Iran, is something Trump has identified as one of his priorities. We will do it with our partners in the Middle East. This is a mission for the world. It's incredibly important, and we are determined to do it. Here is the man that represents this good old U.S. of A. going around the country here a week ago to these eight countries, trying to develop enough interest in taking on Iran and their aggressive nature. And I see United States right in the middle of this because they are the big brother to Israel. And, you know, they're going to back up Israel. And what Iran is doing, which we'll share here in a little bit, when we come back after the break, I'll share some articles that are just extrapolated from the last 2 or 3 days, maybe 2 weeks at the most. Just to show you how this thing is mounting from Israel's mindset, from Iran's mindset, and from the West, and from the nations that are troubled over this nuclear deal, and now that the Iran has changed its notes again and is countering against the nuclear deal. In fact, I'll read an article that shows that they are actually developing yellow cake, and in the face of this deal, because U.S. is not abiding with it. Now Iran says, okay, we'll just go back to square one, and we'll see who wins this thing. And if you try to attack us, we have our mount ready to take you on and take you out. And they're saying that out in the open as we speak, brother.
Right. Amen. And we should also look towards the alliance that they have made with Russia also. That's also a thing that also makes this different than any other time. Back to you.
Yes, that gave a little punch to the Iranian position. You know, when you have a big brother like that on your side, and not really, but what I see happening there, brother, is that Russia and Iran are kind of getting at odds because of the Iran's positioning, and they're thinking that they're going to be part of the Syrian, even the banking system. They set up a banking, community banking between Iran and Damascus now. So there's some things going on that Russia's not too happy with, and he's especially not happy with Israel going in and non-discriminately bombing. Well, actually, they have exact targets. I shouldn't say that's a bad word. But they have targets, and they have bombed Iran and in Syria for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And, man, things are really getting tense. And I think it's high time that we look at this special book of Daniel again, and re-examine and revisit it, and try to bring down the thoughts that when Gabriel came to give the vision, you know, the interpretation of it in verse 16 of chapter 8, he said, Daniel, go and make this understanding to Daniel, the vision. And so the first thing that Gabriel says to Daniel in verse 17 of chapter 8, he says, Daniel, this vision concerns the time of the end. And then, to reiterate it, in verse 19, he says, look, I'm going to show you something here. That's what's going to happen at the last end of the indignation. For at the appointed time, the end shall be. So he's saying twice, as he begins to start giving the interpretation of this vision, he began to say this applies to the end of time. Now, Daniel, when he's writing that, you know, in the mid-500 BCs, you know, was given these visions from Daniel 7 to Daniel 12. These visions are ones that I, you know, as I've talked to you before, these are sealed up visions. And only at the time of the end, when the time of the end commences, will we go in back and forth in the book of Daniel, and knowledge of these sealed words in the closed book will increase, and we will begin to see the very players and events taking place exactly, and there's no ands, ifs, and buts about it. It's very clear. It becomes very clear to those who are watching, as we're admonished to do. And if we're watching and we're looking at the book of Daniel and we're reading it and hopefully we're understanding it, we are getting ourselves prepared for the coming of Yeshua. It's right on the backside of this war with the ram and the goat comes four horns, unity of nations that are going to develop a plan to keep the world out of annihilation. And then someone's going to show up that says, hey, I got the plan. It comes from above. I am even God myself, and so you better listen to me. And it's out of this particular vision that this little horn shows up, and it's not like you can take this prophecy and say, okay, well, this happened back in 539 B.C., or, you know, this happens when the Medes and Persians succeeded Babylon. It did do that. In fact, God would be wise enough, if he's going to seal up a book, to get people to think that the book is already figured out and there's no need to take another look at it. We got a certain historical slant on it, and so that's a fulfillment of it. And so, you know, we go into the next chapter. Well, so many have done that, and all the commentators that I've read, Pastor Dan, when it comes to trying to interpret Daniel 8 or Daniel 7, for that matter, they put Daniel 7 with Daniel 2, which I don't believe fits, because at the time that the Belshazzar is the last king of Babylon, and it's the third year, and the Babylonian king is about to pass away, and Daniel saw in his vision four winds, striving upon a great sea, and out of it comes four beasts. Well, when you look at Daniel 8, it's what kicks off the four winds is the breaking of the great horn. And at the breaking of the great horn, the four winds are let loose, and four beasts come up out of the sea, diverse ones, with a lion with eagle's wings and a bear and so on. And I think that even the very characters of the relationship of a bear and what country we might assume that to be today is much clearer than it was 300 or 400 years ago. At the time of the end, the very players and the symbols and everything would come alive, and we would understand this stuff and shout out loud that, hey, the bridegroom is coming, brother. What do you think?
Well, I think you're absolutely right in the sense that the bridegroom is coming, but we need to address something real quickly before we go to break. Number one, have you ever heard of William Struge, yes or no?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I'm going to send you a link to him that you might be able to help him out with some thing he's been working on. In fact, he offers a $1,000 reward if somebody can clarify it, and I think you may be able to do it.
Wow,
number two,
okay.
There's also a brother that I do radio with twice a month two or three times a month on his program called The Omega Man. Would you like to be on his program?
I wouldn't mind. I like to get this word out because I believe
okay,
that when it
I'm
comes,
gonna send him
that,
your information.
God's not going to hold back this message.
Tell the folks where they can find you. We'll go to break, and I'll work on it.
Thank you.
Where can they find you? SureWordProphecy.org, folks. SureWordProphecy.org. We'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
I've got a story to tell you, a message to deliver in song. If you give an ear to these words I sing, compassion for the lost will grow strong. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls and they don't know. Thank you. says they're walking in darkness. They cannot see the road that they're on. It's broad and it entices them with pleasures, and further down that road they are drawn. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their soul. They don't know. Every single day we have is one more chance to snatch a soul from entering hell. But don't you know these evil days are numbered? So get to work and do your job well. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their soul. Message that was on my heart. Now don't forget we haven't much time. The vineyard ripe, the field is wide, the workers are few, and the harvest time is now in its prime. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. Soon to lose their soul.
They don't know. Soon to lose their soul. They don't know. Oh, she's gone. Riding.
Folks, we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, I've got a couple of things to cover really, really quick because we need to get back to this great program we're having with Steve Anderson. He hasn't been on in a while, but he has an important message you need to listen to tonight. Folks, first off, I want to tell you that a couple of weeks back we did a program about CBD oil because my wife had had a miraculous recovery in her knees and some other problems that she had with it. Well, if you go to my website, prophecyhour.com, on the right, there is a way to get CBD oil. And it, yes, it will benefit the ministry, but it will also get it to where you can get it cheaper. I looked around for a place because you folks requested to me, where can we get it? Where's the best place to get it? And this is the best program I found. Check that out. Share it. Number two, remember, you know, this radio office, I'm sitting here with equipment that is basically, you know, baling wire things together. I really need to upgrade this, my computers, and I need another board and a couple of things. I need help from you folks. If you enjoy the radio programs, consider donation tonight to radio. We need to raise at least, at the minimum, $1,000 to replace equipment, and that will just barely cut things. But we want to do that, and believe me, that video is even on the marks. On another note, I need a laptop really, really bad. If you got one, you've upgraded and got an old one, I'll use the old one if you don't want it. So pray about that. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help over there. We are seeing more and more people every day, which is standing room only. They come in because it's a place of peace, and so we need your help. We need large print King James Bible. We need blankets. We need coats. We need everything. So pray about it. As my wife says, pray about it. And whatever the Father tells you to put and puts on your heart, that's what we need, because we are the homeless and poor people just like you. We are the last hope for so many, and we're responsible, all of us, every one of you, to care one for another as we are brothers keepers. Remember, charity starts in your own home first. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. Radio isn't free, and donations keep us on the air. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and or you can call and give a donation over the phone, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. Again, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio as you are listening. And now we're back with Steve Henderson. Are you still with me, Steve?
I am, brother.
I tried to hurry.
Good work up there where you're going. I wish I could get up there just to help you minister a day or two. That would be fun.
Well, amen. And people come in, it's a place of peace, and it is fun, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, it's uplifting. You can tell you're in a different place. And, you know, it's just real uplifting. We treat everybody as family. It's not like we treat them like an agency or anything like that. It's a place of peace. It's a place to come and you know, get away from all the devilish things that are going on. But anyway, this is really important, what we're talking about tonight, because people need to recognize that what's about to happen, and I'm telling you, I have never seen such rhetoric coming from Iran, and let alone the exchanges that's going on right now between Israel and Iran in Syria are unprecedented. They've never shot back and forth like this before, especially Israel usually strikes in the nighttime and don't even admit what they're doing. They're doing it in the daytime, and they're admitting that they're doing it, and it's something. So please lead the people on in this presentation.
Okay, Pastor Dan, thanks. I would like to start, you know, if a ram is involved here, who is a ram? First of all, right after Gabriel said, hey, this is an end-time vision, he said, the ram which you saw are the kings of the Medes and Persians. Now, no one is disputing who the Persians have been. In fact, up into the middle 20th century, they were still Iran, the Persians, until they changed their name to Iran. And then the Medes, so what you have to do, and if you're putting it down at the end of the age, is where Gabriel puts it, then you have to take the locations where they were found when Daniel was writing the book. In fact, when Daniel was writing the book, Darius the Mede enters the Babylonian kingdom in chapter 6. So we know that the handwriting on the wall happened, and the last king of Babylon was taken out, and the Medes and Persians came. They diverted the rivers of the Euphrates, went underneath the walls, and took out the great Babylonian kingdom. And we know the Medes and Persians were successors. It's a matter of history. When Daniel was writing the book, the Medes were in Babylon, which is now the modern-day Iraq. And that's what led me to center a focus on where this place was, because in Daniel 8, the first thing that Daniel sees is a ram standing in a certain geographical location. So all I wanted to do, first of all, was to find out where this ram was standing. And standing on the river, the ancient word is Ulai, which is now the modern-day Karun, K-A-R-U-N, river. And that's right at the confluence, that where it's located today is at the confluence of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, and it goes down into a waterway, the Persian Gulf, through the Shatt al-Adr waterway. And so we know that when the ram stands, that Daniel says, I saw this ram standing by a certain river. And so there's a geographical location. We could put X on the spot and say, okay, well, that's right there on the border of Iraq and Iran. That's where the ram begins to push and bully. And he's pushing in three different directions. He's pushing north, west, and south. He's not pushing east. That's very significant, considering the places where Iran has been. And we'll get into more of that in a minute. But what we have to do is decipher, does this apply to the ancient Medes and Persians at that day in the early 500 BCs, or do we put put it at the end where Daniel put or Gabriel puts it. So what we have to do is put those locations in an end time context. And I came up with Iraq and Iran. In fact, it means we're up to the Caspian Sea and over in part of the northern part of Assyria. But you know, all in all, they came out of from the east and the north and came down into Babylon, which is now modern day Iraq. If you put the Ulai River or the Karun River in its geographical perspective, it's right there, right on the line of Iraq and Iran. So I don't have to guess, okay? And yes, the Medes and Persians did succeed Babylon. But if you look at it carefully, it puts these two players at the end. Now, the goat is also identified. And in verse 21 or 22, it says that the goat you saw is a kingdom that the King James says Grecia. And we all do know by hindsight there that the Grecian kingdom took over Medes and Persians as they spread their tentacles all over the known world and took out the Medes and Persians. The Greeks succeeded them, and through Alexander the Great, well, actually it was Philip, the father Philip, who was the first king of Greece, and that's why you have to look at the specifics, because when you see these interpreters start to talk about what that great king was, which is noted as the first king, they say, well, that was Alexander the Great. Well, first of all, if you're looking at it from that perspective, Alexander the Great was not the first king. He was the second. His father, Philip, was the one that made the great Macedonian army, and then when Philip was assassinated, then Alexander also took over and conquered in the footsteps of his father. In addition to that, most commentators say that you can only find it in biblical commentators. You'll never find it. What I find interesting, Pastor Dan, is this idea of Greece splitting up into four different kingdoms. You only hear that in biblical commentating. You won't hear it in history, okay? And I've checked it out, because if you're going to teach it, you want to have everything square, right? You agree with me?
Right. Right,
okay,
I agree with you.
2 plus 2 has to equal 4, and it can equal 3.5. And so when you look at what the
well, not unless you're a Democrat, I say, you know.
Huh?
I'm sorry, I was being sarcastic. I said not unless you're a Democrat. I'm sorry. I apologize. I couldn't take it.
Don't get me started with that, brother. Okay, so if you're playing, the word Greece is the actual Hebrew word Yavon. And Yavon, in a day that Daniel was sitting in the Babylonian kingdom while Darius Mede was ruling over him, and it wasn't too long after that they went back to Jerusalem from the prophecy of Cyrus, which was name by name 100 years before it happened through Isaiah the prophet. Which is very interesting, too, name by name. But he wrote a decree. They went back to Jerusalem. But it was in that captivity where Yavon was the farthest western location that they had record of. They came out of the sons of Noah, and they came over in that area. And Yavon actually encompassed what we would now refer to as Cyprus, the Cyprus Island. In fact, you'll find a couple kinds of prophecy, the word Kittim, okay? Just a side note here, Kittim is Cyprus, and it just happens to be where the U.S. Navy has a port, and actually when that last conflict happened with Syria, the ships of Chittim, which you'll find that in the Abomination of Desolation in Daniel 11, specifically mentioned, is Cyprus Island. So Yavon was in that area of the Mediterranean. It did cover some of the Macedonian kingdom and all, but it in fact, most of it, but it encompassed more of an area than just a little the country of Greece. And so when you look at the breakdown of what happened after Alexander the Great died, I'll just read one particular thing that I, you know, would like to read to the audience about what you find over and over and over. But when you find biblical commentators, they're always broken up into four parts. But when you read history, listen to this one. It says that the Diadochi, that's a name for six major players of the successors of Alexander, the Macedonian generals, carved up the empire after Alexander's death in 323 BC. These were the successors of the Diadochi, founders and states and dynasties notably, but not limited to, please pay attention, Antipater, Perdiccas, Ptolemy I, Seleucus I, and Antigonus, One-Eyed, and Lysimachus. And so he's mentioned right here that this one person in history, and it says that these are the major generals. There weren't four, there were six. And then if you look at the four wars of the Diadochi and trace that through, you're not going to find that broken up into four kingdoms or stay in four kingdoms, if not just for a moment. And so if the history does not fit the prophecy, then get rid of the history and look at it again where Daniel puts it and Gabriel puts it at the end of time. That area from the west is where the goat comes from across the surface of the whole earth from the west. That's what it says, and it's coming from the air. It's not touching the ground. And when you read the commentators who talk about Alexander the Great, he said, oh, he moved swiftly across the earth. That's why it alludes that he came from the air. Well, no, you know, that's force-fitting something in there that doesn't fit. And so there was an idea, a similarity, but at the end, we would take a look at these prophecies at the time of the end. We run back and forth in Daniel, brother, and look at it and say, oh, man, no wonder I don't hear too many people saying anything about this, because they didn't know any. It didn't fit. And so they just leave it alone. You understand what I'm saying, brother?
Sure. I'm following you. Go on.
Okay, so bottom line, if there's been a gross error in placing all the prophecies back in B.C., you know, Antiochus Epiphanes, a little horn in 168 B.C., who laid swine on the altar, well, it ought to be a clue to someone. Yeshua said this. He said, when you see that spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it shouldn't, whosoever reads, let him understand. And then it will be a great tribulation such as never was. He tied that into a great tribulation such as ever once. So you can't put that in 168 B.C. because after 168 B.C., Yeshua shows up a couple hundred years later and says, when you therefore see it. So those who are attempting to put Antiochus Epiphanes on the abomination of desolation, that may have been a little bit of a shadow of sorts, but nothing like what the prophets talk about the little horn at the end. So just a little information. Your opinion, brother.
It sounds very sound. I understand what you're saying. You know, when people do Bible prophecy, they tend to eliminate things that doesn't support their opinion. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Instead of, look, it's like this. I know you're the kind of guy that does the research, that when you do the research, that you also look for the things like me. I try to prove myself wrong before I present it.
Amen.
And you're that kind of person, Steve. Go ahead.
Well, you know, you have to. The scripture says, 1 Peter 3:15, you always be ready to give an answer to the hope that is in you when you're asked. And I believe that as serious times unfold, the book of Daniel says that there are going to be those that are wise that will shine as the brightness of the firmament and turn many as stars into righteousness forever and ever. There's going to be God-fearing people that are looking at the scriptures at the time of great darkness on the earth, and they're going to shine brightly because they understand. And it says in book of Daniel 11 and verse 33, I think it says, that those that are wise are going to instruct many. And yet, at the same time, they're going to be targets of elimination. And so, you know, we need to understand this very, very clearly and not ignore the details or the specifics of the prophecies, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't ignore the details. It has to add up. That's what makes a researcher. You have to connect the dots. I'm sorry, if you have a span that doesn't fit, you just can't put it aside and say it's a misinterpretation or just ignore it. The dots must connect. He gave us those dots to connect. And I believe, though, it won't be, listen, Daniel was set for the time of the end. So, therefore, I do not believe that prior interpretations until the time of the end can really be truthful or, let's not say truthful, that makes sound like somebody's lying. But it has to be accurate according to everything that has happened up to that point. Not just, you understand what I'm saying? Back to you.
Yes, all the people who understand are going to be able to do is just point them to the prophecy and say, read it for yourself, and then look, you know. I think that's going to be that simple. I think great light is coming out of these books, brother, and I think it's high time we look at them a little closer. So why do I believe this is coming? I'm going to give you just a few quick articles. It's about Iran's attitude. It's about Israel's attitude. It's about this great nation in the West's attitude. And all the players that you find in Daniel 8 are here front and center on the world scene, and something is about to break loose, brother. I'm telling you, it's you know, it's just right in our face. So, in Newsweek, a few days ago, it says, Iran builds closer ties with Iraq just as Secretary of State Mike Pompeo leaves Iraq to continue anti-Iran tour. And this is out of Newsweek. It says, Iran and Iraq have held meetings designed to boost their bilateral ties just one day after Secretary of State Mike Pompeo met with Iraqi officials as part of a broader Middle Eastern tour aimed at curbing Tehran's influence in the region. Now, it goes on to say that the whole focus of this is that the Iranians and the Iraqis are now grasping the two neighboring peoples, and they're expressing the importance of strengthening each other in the interest of the two peoples. So Iran and Iraq, who are two majority Shiite Muslim neighbors, even though they've had a tumultuous history, at some point in time, you remember that back in 1980 where they had an eight-year war, and, man, they were arch enemies. But the prophecy says that one day there will be two horns. One will be higher, and a higher horn comes up last, and indicating, brother, that the focus will be on one horn first, and then another nation would get involved, and then they begin to bam and push and get very aggressive. And that is exactly what we're seeing in the news as we speak, and that is one of the signs that I know is prophetic, because the Iran, the two horns, and it specifically mentions two horns. And we go over there to Iraq and Iran on that border at the River Ulai. There's a lot of things that point to this. And so anyway, here's another article out of Israel National News a few days ago. It says, Iran deepens entrenchment in Iraq. And it says here, Iraq seems powerless to stop Iran's interference, and the U.S. is doing nothing to stop it. Has the battle been lost? I say no, it's just the beginning. And it says that Iran is currently using a team of hit squads in Iraq to eliminate critics who are against the country's meddling and to form in a new Iraqi government. And Iran is right in the center of putting in Shiite leaders, as they have in the past, in Iraqi's government. And this is a goal that is taking place before our very eyes, and they are becoming one in spirit and heart, and in building up each other economically and militarily. And Iran is transferring ballistic missiles to Shia militia groups in Iraq, brother. This is happening as we speak. There's something going on, and not only that, but they're saying that now that we've developed closer ties with Iraq, now, United States, you need to get out of here. And if you don't get out of here, we're gonna find a way to get you out of here. And that is bottom line. So we find that at some point in time, the Iran gets aggressive, and right now they are in several. They have their hands where you find trouble, you find Iran. And right out in the open, brother, Iran is publicly announcing their goal to exterminate Israel. Now, in my opinion, that when you see this Ram vision, you have to assume that it has something to do with Israel, because this is an Israel prophet of Israel is writing about Persia and the Medes that gets real aggressive. And as we speak, there's been a couple of news reports within the last 2 weeks. One from a top Iranian general out of the Times of Israel, and it says top Iranian general vows to annihilate Israel. Hello, is there anybody awake? You see, this general says, I myself will hoist the flag of the Islamic Revolution in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem.
Right.
Allah willing. And before I continue on, please note, this is a very telling remark as to the intent and end game of the Iranian nation. They want to remove the Jews from Jerusalem and set up camp there and bring the Palestinians back to Jerusalem as their capital. This is in the news. If you know what you're looking for, you're finding some very powerful prophecies that are converging all together, brother. One is the prophecy of Iran and Iraq, and then begin to get real aggressive. And they're in Yemen. They're implanted in Syria. They're working their way in Turkey. They're working their way down in Yemen and Iran. They get their fingers in everything over there, and they have these tentacles. And their whole goal is to set a coalition together that's going to come up against Israel. They're saying this out in the open. And it says this. Here's what the general says. The Islamic Revolution in Iran will not back down from the goal of wiping out the Jewish state. The general then spoke a little plainer. He said, Israel must be destroyed and wiped out. There is no doubt that the Zionists must be annihilated and destroyed. This will definitely happen. And here's a second article out of the Middle East Monitor, January 29th, just 2 days ago. Iran general, new war will eliminate Israel. And in this particular article, it says that yesterday they threatened Israel, saying if Tel Aviv does not does anything to start a new war, it will obviously be the war that will end with its elimination. We announced that if Israel does anything, then I'm going to create a place where there's not a cemetery in Palestinian in the Palestine to bury their own corpses. Very, very harsh language. And as you're well aware of, brother, there are missiles being shot back and forth out of and Israel, by out of self-preservation, says, Iran, you are not going to plant yourself in Syria. And they are digging in, and they're creating a military machine there, and they're lining up with the Syrians there, economically and militarily, because they have a very strategic place right there north of the Golan Heights, in which they're going to create a group of proxies, Hezbollah, Hamas, the Islamic Jihad. They have funneled billions of dollars into these war machines that are surrounding Israel, and they're heading that way, brother. Yeah, your thoughts?
Well, absolutely, and that's why I found an obscure article, and I said it at the first of the program, where Netanyahu got together with Trump and he explained to him that the war was going to be escalated right there, and that that was when President Trump made the decision to say he wanted to get our troops out of Syria. That is the underlying real reason, because Israel warned President Trump that it was going to escalate into a full-out war. Back to you.
Yes. Yeah, we know, like I said, brother, we know it's coming. Everyone is talking very harshly, and Yeshua said that before war kicks off, he said you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. So there's going to be a lot of talk about it. Then they're going to get the gloves on, and they're going to begin to do the bam and the slam thing.
the bam and the slam. Yeah, I liked it. I'm going to have to listen to that over a couple times because that was good.
Right now, Iran is aiming to dominate five capitals in the Middle East, in the government seats of Iraq, Lebanon, Syria, Yemen, and Jordan's spokesman said in reply to Pompeo's assessment that these tentacles are being spread throughout the Middle East, and they're trying to share their Shia religion on to the rest of the Middle East and onward to the rest of the world.
All right. We're going to have to stop. I only got like about a minute to get the stuff from you. Yeah, don't you have some videos on this though at your website?
I do have on my website. It was done a year ago, and if you see what I did a year ago, you're going to be amazed at what I predicted and now how it's really enlarging itself. It's on surewordprophecy.org. And on the front page, there is a link to my article, or not my article, but my video entitled The Time of the End, the Ram and the Goat. So check that out.
All right.
Pastor Dan, be blessed. Thanks for your opportunity to share prophecy with you, brother. Love you.
All right. Goodbye and shalom to you, brother. Okay. Bye-bye. Okay, folks, those of you that listen to us about the CBD, you told me to find you the best place to find it. This is a place that you can kind of earn it. You know, or whatever, go over and check it out. It's on prophecyhour.com. Pray about supporting Mission Church, but really, really, really pray about supporting radio. You want to keep hearing us and you want to hear us in clarity. I got to get this equipment fixed and changed. So pray about it. But in the meantime, remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for all of our repented sins. And he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Always please be a blessing to others. Show your faith. Show Yeshua. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would please, please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, Father, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.